church today. Today is Communion Sunday. And not only is it Communion Sunday, but it's June 8th. And every year, kind of right around late May, early June, I always like to preach a message reminding us, Paul said it's good for me to remind you of these things, reminding us, encouraging us, hopefully inspiring us to be very wise about how we live out our summer. Specifically, when it comes to dealing with sin and temptation. And how many know it's the right time to talk about this, right? One Puritan writer wrote, look, if he can't get you in the fortress, he'll wait until you're out on the plains. And, you know, it's not that he can't get us in the winter, but man, can he really get to us in the summer? And so, but praise be to the living God, we walk in victory. How many would say amen? How many believe that? We walk in victory. But we also have to walk in wisdom. And so I want to talk about wisdom. Today is a talk about us being very wise about how we deal with sin and temptation. And part of what I want to do is I want to use like Christian's example to start by like elevating the fact that, you know, it's really, really good to love what's good. It's really, really good to love what pleases God. It's like there's so much blessing. Yes, we want to avoid evil, but it's really, really good to want to do good. And look at what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. This is speaking of Jesus, the quintessential example for us, but this speaks to all of us. The inspired writer says this, you have loved righteousness. Everybody say loved righteousness. Okay, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions. There's like this, there when we love righteousness, right? He sets us apart in a sense. And it says, by anointing you with the oil of joy. Okay, there's a joy, there's a blessing, there's an anointing of happiness and gladness that comes upon our life when we choose to love God and honor God and obey God. Listen, this is the truth. The truth is that as they get married, right, nobody can take from them that he said, I saved myself for you. Right? I mean, that's something that no one can take. It'll always be a joy. I waited for you. You were the one. And you know, we're living in a day, listen, this is why this is important. We're living in a day, for example, this is Pride Month, right? So they're proud of unrighteousness. And I don't say this like, I'm not like, those terrible people. I'm not saying it like that. Okay? I don't mean it like that at all. Because I don't consider myself or anybody else less sinful than anybody on that track of life. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. But I just don't think you should be proud about it. But what should we be? Well, we should love to please God. We should love to make him happy. God, fill us with love for righteousness, because guess what? There's a gladness. There's a joy. Sin makes you sad, but loving God and honoring God makes you glad. Anybody here want to be glad? Anybody here want a summer of, all right, I'm messing with you already. I could tell you're like, why? What is it that we're believing? Right? So how many know serving God and honoring God is better than serving ourselves and anybody else? Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and say yes, Lord. There's a blessing on it. There's a joy. There's a victory on it. And again, listen, this is not to put down anyone who, when you got married, you weren't a virgin. We're taking communion. We'll deal with that. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. We're celebrating forgiveness. We're celebrating that the past is gone. But the wisdom of man, it is so good to love the Lord and to love righteousness. Amen. In a moment, we're going to pray, God, help me to love righteousness. I want to love righteousness. You know, I want to make your heart glad. You know what? Let's pray right now. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, we could sing these songs, Lord. We trust in God, our Savior. We trust in the one who has never failed us. We sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. We cried out to you from the worst places, from the darkest places, and you didn't turn your back on us. You raced towards us, and you rescued us, oh God, over and over and over again. And that's why we celebrate communion, because your mercies are new every morning, because you're rich in mercy, because you're the God of the second and third and thousandth chance. God, would you bless this word? Would you bless our hearts? We're going to talk about deep things today, Lord, important things. We're going to talk about important spaces that we share with you. And I ask that you would speak into it, and I ask that you would help me to speak into it. But Lord, as your word goes forth, may your spirit apply it to everyone online and in this room. We love you, God. We praise you. We're hungry to receive from you. And do it by your mighty power, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, so we're going to be talking about sin and temptation, but I want to use two verses to address kind of like a unique aspect of this. And I want to give you the title of my message today is No Lurking. Everybody say, no lurking. Okay, I'm going to read a text to you that talks about no lurking. And so I was in the office before I came in, and some people were right outside the office, and I could hear them whispering. They were trying not to disturb me, but I opened up and I said, hey, no lurking. Right? So the Bible actually tells us, and this is very, very applicable to your life and to my life, to all of us. Okay, this is very, very applicable. Like you could really, my prayer is that you would take these truths today and really apply them when you leave here and get strong and be blessed by them. Sometimes the Bible makes promises to you. Sometimes the Bible gives you warnings. But sometimes the Bible gives you instruction. Right? And don't take this like a warning. Take it more like instruction. Okay? These are ways to walk in victory and blessing. Anybody here want victory and blessing? If you want victory and blessing, guess what? No lurking. All right, so here we go. Proverbs 24, verse 15 is as follows. Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous, right? Do not plunder their dwelling place, for though the righteous fall seven times, come on, three words, let's read it together. They rise again. Hallelujah. It says, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So the first text today says, do not lurk like a thief. And to set, here's what it's basically saying as we start to unpack this. You know, the thief, he scopes out your place. You know, he scopes it out. That season of scoping, that process of scoping, right, before you and I sin, we think about sinning. Before you and I sin, we actually plan to sin, right? It's like, and by the way, it's not about the devil made me do it. Okay, we're not talking about the devil. We did a whole series about rebuke the devil. We're not talking about the devil today. We're talking about what's inside you and me today. Okay? We have a fallen nature. Okay? Christ is in us. If you've accepted the Lord, Christ is in you. But we still have a choice to yield to Christ or to give into our own sinful ways. And where it all starts is it starts with lurking. So it's kind of like, you guys know I grew up in a unique space, right? Some crazy cats, you might say. One of my friends told me a story once. Actually, after he got saved, he told me a story about how one of the guys in the neighborhood got really, really sick. And this dude was so sick, he couldn't get out of bed. I mean, they were really, really worried about him. And so he heard that. And so, man, what do you think about when your boy gets sick? So what he did is he's like, man, he can't get out of bed. No. So he went in his house while he was sleeping, and he stole his television set. What? Come on, you know that's cold, right? That is cold right there, you know? So that's a snake special, isn't it? Like, I could just imagine him walking down the street, like, you know, he was like, that's how bad I used to be. And so if you thought for a second, man, that's cold, just know that guy is in you and me. Maybe a different flavor. And when the Bible says, don't lurk like a thief, it's talking about that space. Here's what lurk means. It means to lie in wait. It means to actively plot evil. It means to be crafty, you know. The way I call it, let me put it this way. Most sin has a pause moment, a process moment. Most sin has a space. Always know this. Right? Your mind goes to places way before your body gets there. And so if you're a new believer or whether you're an old believer, I just want to tell you, never be surprised by how sinful your heart could be. It's like, don't be shocked. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. And so when we're doing good, when we're doing right, guess what that is? That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, that's the help of the Holy Spirit. Anyone glad here that you don't do the things you used to do because somehow Jesus changed you? Right? It'd be kind of crazy to think, like, I changed myself. That's like a leopard saying, I changed my own spots. A leopard can't change their own spots. But because we have Christ in us, then he changes us and transforms us and gives us more and more victory, not just over the devil, not just over the world, over our own sinful nature. And so we all have a sinful nature, and it shouldn't shock you. So when that part of you kind of activates, just know it just is a reminder that we need to grab hold of Jesus. Amen. So what the Bible here is saying is that you and I have to be very, very thoughtful. Like, sometimes God delivers you from something. Sometimes God saves you from yourself somehow, and it's like an instant. But as you grow in God, there's a mental deliberation where you actually mature in God. And when your flesh says, you should do that, or you should say that, or you should get back at them, or you should take that, or look at her, or whatever it is, right, that you start to, as a mature believer, you start to say, no, I don't want to plot evil in my heart. No, I don't want to lurk. I don't want to entertain that. I reject that thought in the name of Jesus. I break agreement with that thought in the name of Jesus. I don't even care if I want it. My flesh might want it, but I want what God wants for me. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say no lurking. Amen. Right? Just don't cook the wrong stew inside of you is what this is saying. Right? Now, could you put the second verse back up? Now, there's a way that this fleshes out. And the Bible says in Proverbs, right, my son, if sinners entice you, three words ready, do not consent. So when you take no lurking, what does no lurking, how does it really flesh out? This is why I put this up. It means that internally you say to your own self, don't consent. That means I don't agree. I don't line up with this. I don't want to give into this. I am not going to give the enemy space or my flesh space or anyone else. Can I say this to you this summer? Right? This summer, don't consent. Don't consent with people. Don't consent with yourself. Don't consent with places. Don't consent with activities. Don't consent with anything that you know is going to hurt the heart of God, anything that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't consent. Just say, I don't agree. In the name of Jesus, help me not to agree. Don't consent. Now, let me talk to you about your capacity to say no. So listen to this. Great man of God, one of the Puritans, said, so when Satan wishes to tempt sin, he knocks at the door of the will. When he wishes to accuse of sin, he pays a call on the conscience. But he does not have absolute knowledge or power over these, for they are locked to all but God. Satan knows he cannot pick a lock to which God holds the key. So he thinks up cunning ways to trick the saint into opening the door for him. I'm telling you right now, Satan cannot pick your lock. Satan cannot open the door of your heart. Come on, how many believe that? You used to belong to the enemy, but now you belong to Jesus. He cannot pick that lock. Don't consent. There's grace from God. The Holy Spirit says no, he doesn't. But here's what the Satan does is he does accuse you or he does entice you, right, to see if you'll open the door. Okay? Now, the Bible says this. No temptation has overtaken you except what's common to mankind. Okay? So if you might be here and there are certain things that are tempting you so bad, it's making your teeth rattle. Okay? You can't take it. It makes you tremble. But it might make you tremble, but it does not make you obey, because you have a new Lord. You have a new King. And I'm telling you right now, the more you say no to that monster, the less grip and call it'll have upon your life. Don't consent. Watch this. It says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You know, this reminded me of when I was in Bible school. And can I tell you, when you're in Bible school, you get a lot of messages like these. God have mercy. Always pray for leaders, especially spiritual leaders, because there's like an extra attack on spiritual leaders. And I remember being in Bible school and a man of God who led thousands and millions to Christ. His name was Jimmy Swaggart. So Jimmy Swaggart had fallen. And then in internal circles, Jimmy Swaggart gave he kind of explained what happened when he fell. And here's what he said. He said, it was kind of like a dream I had. And in the beginning, I had this dream that described why I fell. So in the beginning, a snake came up to me, and the snake was the size of a man. Right? He said, but then as time went by with all the pressures, with all the struggles, with all the charges, the snake was no longer the size of a man. The snake was like the size of a mountain, and I couldn't give in. I couldn't resist, right? And so I remember the man of God saying, you know, he used that as an excuse for why he fell. And look, I say this with, this is serious stuff. Like, we're all vulnerable to sin, okay? Starting with me. We are really, really vulnerable. We got to stay close to God. We got to hold on to Jesus. You know, remember, what, if you remember when your kids are young and they grab hold of your leg, I'm telling you right now, let's grab hold of Jesus' leg and not let him go all day. Somebody say amen, right? But listen, so, but the president of the school said, so they used that as his was explaining his journey. He said, but he missed something. He missed something. See, what he was supposed to do was that when the snake was the size of a man, it was at that point that he should have chopped off the head of the snake. That was the point. You see, don't consent doesn't let this thing keep on growing, which I want to give you a quote. Could you put that back up for a moment? So look, you can endure it. You can deal with it, but you've got to deal with it with wisdom. Now, give me the next slide very quickly here. So, look, your method of defense must be different from the adversary's mode of attack. His strength lies in making gradual approaches. Everybody say gradual approaches. Okay, I want to describe that. Yours in a resistance has to be sudden, resolute, total. Don't consent. So, like I gave the illustration, maybe someone works at a hospital, someone works at a college, some office building, married, and when you think about, we always tell people, look, all marriages have four seasons: spring, summer, fall, and winter. Okay, this is reality. The key to a good marriage is to keep the winter short, right? Because winter does come, right? And keep them really, really short. I was saying earlier, think like Arizona, you know what I mean? So you just want it nice all the time. You don't want it too cold ever. But what if you're in a cold season right now, right? So the guy's in a cold season. They just can't seem to, they're having a hard time getting along. And then somebody in the office comes by and is super nice. And while they are super nice, the truth of the matter is that he recognizes this person is not super nice. This person is too nice. There's nice, and then there's too nice. Right? How many know the kind of too nice I'm talking about? Right? Look, it's kind of like, one of my friends says, you know, I was born at night, but not last night. And so, look, you're not a fool. If you're watching online, you're no fool. So when that person is being too nice, that's the moment where you say, okay, thank you, see you later. Because if you're there going, oh, man, you're so nice. Well, what are you doing? Okay, you're entertaining that thing. And you think, well, I'll just play with it a little longer. No, right there, don't consent. Somebody say, don't consent. Don't consent, whatever it is, don't consent. Don't consent. It could be big things. It could be little things. But look, don't consent. If you give him a foothold, he turns it into a stronghold. Don't consent. And the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will really, really help you to say no. Because even though your temptation seems overwhelming and unique to you, it's not unique. And it has been dealt with by Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says, for sin shall no longer have dominion over you. How many know whom the Son sets free is free indeed? Can we put our hands together for freedom in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah! But look, when it comes to Satan's tricks and temptations, he's going to attack you in two specific areas. He's going to attack, first of all, what drains you. All right? He's going to attack what drains you. Some things just trigger you into the flesh. Okay? It's like, you know, everybody has their own collection of issues that really, really annoy you. You know? And it really, really bothers you. And we don't realize at times that the enemy wants to get you in the flesh by poking at what drains you. So you have to be mindful, especially mindful in the first area, is the things that drain you. Because if it drains you and it can get you out of the spirit and into the flesh, now the enemy has already got you on a leash and he's dragging you around anywhere you want. And so it's like you're like, well, I got something to do. I got this. You're really annoying me. You're stopping me from doing something good. Listen, don't consent. Because whatever your reason is, there's no justification for getting in the flesh. You know, I'll give you a quick example here. And I'm trying to think about examples that really speak to, like, private spaces. Like, anybody here like me, like, I really can't stand being late. Anybody here, like, does it, like, it has, like, this thing inside of you. Like, when you're late, it's like, it, like, is bending your bones or something like that. You're like... Like, you don't understand what this does to me. You know what I mean? It's like, this is painful. So, for me, one of the greatest days of my marriage was the first time we got a second car. Don't tell Chrissy I said that, okay? And, I told her I was going to get back. She, a couple weeks ago, she put, like, my dirty dishes up on the screen. Said, now I'm... I said, get ready, right? But anyway, so... Anyway, it's like greatest day of my... I was like, this is freedom beyond. This is, like, victory. I'm like, let's go. You know? Why? Because I can't stand being late. But it's interesting... Over the years, how many times the Holy Spirit has checked me, right? When I've had something important to do, some place that I wanted to go, you know, or I was trying to, like, when the kids were really little and I was trying to study for sermons and preaching has always been a challenge for me and trying to study for them, and they would come in and break in the, and I was like, and the Lord used to say, okay, you know, are you going to be about you? Or are you going to be a servant? Right? I want to unpack this just a little bit more for you, right? And so, many, many times, I've come to realize that because I'm in a rush... If I leave my wife behind because I'm in a rush, shame on me. I think that God who does not want me to be late. I think that God would prefer that I was late and not dishonor her and walk with her. Then just walk on. Right? Now I'm using this as an illustration because there's a space inside of you. There's a space inside of you. And the key to being godly is not like thinking about the Ten Commandments. It's about that pause. It's about this internal conversation that you have with God and yourself, where you're trying to really honor God from a deep place. So look, beware of what drains you and don't justify wrongdoing because something drains you. You're better than that. You're stronger than that. You can walk in victory over that. And that victory brings Jesus glory. Anybody here want to bring Jesus glory? Amen? Don't consent. Have a different kind of conversation with yourself. And then here's the second side of it, is then there's what actually draws you. There's what draws you. So not everyone is tempted by every kind of sin, okay? But if there's 20 kinds of sin, 20 flavors, everybody has two or three flavors. You know what I'm saying? And you have to be especially sensitive to those flavors. You have to be especially sensitive to things, and you have to avoid that like the plague. You know what I'm saying? You have to stay miles away. Don't get close to the line. Not with that thing. You better run from that. The Bible says, flee from evil. Don't consent. Proverbs chapter 7, if you read Proverbs chapter 7 yesterday, right, it talks about the foolish guy who goes in the direction of the adulterous woman, right? But look, I'm not just talking about sexual sin. I'm talking about all kinds of sin. I'm talking about stealing. I'm talking about anger. I'm talking about unforgiveness. Like some people, because you had a rough upbringing, because somebody hurt you, somebody did you wrong, anytime someone goes to do you wrong, it could be a tiny wrong, you like knock their head off, you tear them apart as if they're the one who did what they did back there. You gotta let that go. You can't act godly and bring glory to God if you give in to something that happened in the past as if it's in the present. So, but there are things that you really like. There are things, look, serving God means that you sacrifice sometimes. And you say no to even something that you desire. Okay, it won't kill you not to get it. You know, be careful of what you say I need versus I want. Now, there's a clarifying question, okay? You want to save bankruptcy? There it is. Do I need it or do I want it? Okay, now he's really messing with stuff. We got to move on, right? So, very, very important to watch what draws you. And I want to say one other thing. I just felt led to say this in the first service, and I want to say it now. You know, if you have a tendency to be selfish, okay, you need to be mindful of how powerful selfishness is. And you know what selfishness is? Selfishness means that you're self-centered. It means you think about yourself first. And one of the ways that you know you're self-centered, and I've given you illustrations about this already, is you know that you're self-centered when you get called upon to be a blessing and a servant to someone else and you don't really like it. That's a form of self-centeredness, you know? So After I shared this, one of the sisters came to me and said, "Hey, does that include moms?" I was like, "No, moms get a pass on this." You know? Because they never get a break, you know? That's right. But the truth of the matter is, like, you know, you got to be able to put what you want aside for the sake of serving others. And if you're successful here, okay, beware of success. The Bible even talks about the rich man has to be very mindful of his humble position. Rich people are so vulnerable to temptation, you know? Because here's the thing, because you're successful at one thing doesn't mean that you're successful at everything. Okay, just because you're good at this doesn't mean you're good at everything and you know everything. You still have to be a servant, you know? And so there's this call to not give in. Part of consenting sometimes is we're just giving in to our own self-centeredness. And saying yes to self is saying no to God. How many want to say yes to God and no to self? Come on, could we get a loud amen for that? Hallelujah. We're going to pray at the end. God, help me, Lord, to make honoring you more important than satisfying me. You know, because you are so good to bless me in so many ways. You satisfy me in so many ways. Is he not good to us? Amen. It's that you can't have it all the time. Don't consent. If they could send me a keyboard player. So the first part is the Bible is saying, look, in that space where we're processing what we're going to do and how we're going to handle it, it's saying don't plan ugly things. Don't even consent to it. But then this verse is so powerful, and it really speaks to communion as we get ready to take communion. Because you know what the second thing that this verse says? All right, and this is to each and every one of us. It says, don't consent, but then it says, don't lay down. Somebody say, don't lay down. Don't lay down. What do you mean by that? Okay, watch this. The second part of that verse, right, it says, don't lurk. But then the second part of it says this. The righteous fall 7 times, right? Now, 7 times is a number of completion in the Bible. Right? And if you were in that day, if you heard Solomon say that, you would know exactly what he meant by that. It meant more than just the number. It meant complete. It meant total. When someone says 7 times, they're talking about complete. So the Bible, here's what it says. Though the righteous fall completely, totally, absolutely, like where there's actually no more falling to do, totally falling, here's what the Word of God promises. It says, 3 words, say it with me, ready? They rise again. Hallelujah. We rise again. Don't lay down, because we have a Savior that enables us to rise again. Hallelujah. Amen. They rise again because Jesus paid it all. Amen. You see, here's the truth. The truth is every fall is a complete fall until Jesus steps in. But when Jesus steps in, everything changes. When Jesus steps in, then the prophet said, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be what? White as snow. Virgin pure. In the eyes of God, virgin clean. Fresh start. A candidate for the blessing of God, a candidate for the goodness of God, the favor of God. You mean after I did that, you favor me? If you're under the blood, brother and sister, you are a candidate for the favor of God, for the goodness of God, for the promotion of God. on the night that Jesus, after 3 years, talk about special access. Talk about a special opportunity. The privilege of the most privileged in history. It's these 12 guys that got to live day and night with Jesus. Peter's one of them. They go, they arrest Jesus. And after 3 years of miracles, teaching, all of that, he's calling down curses. Say, I don't even know that guy. Right? You want to talk about a betrayer of the Lord? Peter was a betrayer of the Lord. But guess who preached the first sermon of the New Testament? Guess who Jesus picked to represent him when the church of Jesus Christ was born? The one who betrayed him. Let me tell you something. You can betray Jesus, but when you get under the blood, he chooses you again and again and again. Hallelujah. He will use you. He will help you. You are not disqualified when you come under the blood. If that messes with your head, I get it. But it's still true. It's true. The righteous fall completely. But when Jesus steps in, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter, maybe your heart is on especially if you're watching online or here, you're on an especially unholy streak. You know what the word of the Lord to you is today? Don't lay down, don't stay down. Listen, faith in what Christ has done says, I will not lay down. I'm not going to stay in the pit. I'm not going to stay in depression. I'm not going to stay on drugs. I'm not going to stay in perversion. I'm not going to stay in anger. I'm not going to stay in unforgiveness. I'm not going to stay in a state of depression. I'm not going to do it. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. I will not lay down. My Savior calls me to rise up out of that grave. He calls me to stand up and rise up. I love this. Micah 7:8 says, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Maybe the devil has been criticizing you. Maybe the devil has been putting you down and condemning you. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation. He has no voice. He has no say. Listen, though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. How many know Jesus is ready and able to rescue you and to raise you up? Hallelujah. Don't lay down. Somebody's listening to me. You've been laying down for way too long. Been way too long. You've been living under the shadow of something ugly that you did or that was done to you. And you're like, you're laying down. Rise up. Rise up, my son. Rise up, my daughter, says the Lord. Rise up, my brother and sister. Rise up. Get out of that grave. He called forth Lazarus. 4 days. And he called them forth. And maybe it's been 4 years for you. But the word of the Lord is rise up.